Welcome to the American Overlander podcast. I am your host, Will Fowler from Venture to Rome. And today we are picking up where we left off with Kara and Matt McClellan from Ozark Overlanding Adventures. Now, if you've seen any of our videos on our YouTube channel, Venture to Rome, you might get the impression that I like to edit. And I gotta say though, it's not often that I edit something and have a smile on my face the entire time, which is what happened when I was editing this second part of this podcast with Kara and Matt. We talk about so many fun subjects. We talk about their rigs. We talk about how people get inspired by watching something as silly as YouTube. And it's just a really authentic exchange between friends. And so I really hope you enjoy the second part of our interview with Ozark Overland Adventures.
So this happened to me the other day. I mean, it happens to everybody at some point. Like someone, I got out of my car, I was getting coffee or something. And somebody's like, "Do I know you from YouTube?" And I was, and what's interesting is like, I just took a second. And of course I was super, it was just super great, super positive experience. But then I like that those words sunk in a little bit, like, do I know you from YouTube? Mm-hmm. And what happens is people do know you. They know you. Yeah. And they know what you put out on the videos, but they feel
like they
you're talking to them on camera. Like you're bringing them with you. You're expressing how you're feeling about things. And so to a certain extent, they do know you from YouTube, but you don't know them at all. Yeah. And so they've developed a relationship with you and your channel. And
yeah, it can be a little creepy.
Well, but it's also like, if you're on the other side of that, it's really, really great, but it's hard to reciprocate because like, you're truly a stranger to me. I had no idea that you watched my channel before you said that. And I'm so grateful. And I like, and then it's like, well, what would you like me to do? <You're> like, what I would like to give you a positive experience here, but I don't know you. So I don't really know how to talk to you. Like,
honestly, you know, I think know. That I comes to back to the whole podcast thing, you know, like you're doing with your podcast and what I'm doing with mine. I think we need to invest into those people so that we turn that conversation onto them. And we're like, what do you drive? Where do you, you know, like, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I think, again, that people can always give of themselves in that area too. So, but yeah, it's definitely a little weird.
That's good advice. That's really good advice. Okay. So then what's it like? So I know we kind of dabbled in this, but like what is, cause you just went full time. I don't know, not that long, less than a year ago, like 6 months ago. Okay. So 6 months ago. Yeah. What is the full-time YouTuber life like on a daily basis?
I love it.
It's laziness.
That's my bug, you know it. I am having more fun than I have ever had in my life. I mean, the saying is, you know, find a way to make money doing what you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
And that's very much how I feel now. I mean, I work my butt off.
What the girl in this corner told him.
I work my butt off and I love it. And I mean, I want to say that I am, you know, I could say that I'm retired, but I'm not, because I still very much have a job that she puts
in. So Kara's putting air quotes up.
Yes. Like, putting air quotes up. But I mean,
a lot of people feel that way about YouTube. It's, your job, man. Yeah. Videos, which we'll get into. It's not as easy as people think.
Yeah. But, I mean, I imposed upon myself a video release schedule. Mm-hmm. One to just keep getting content out, because growing YouTube, creating content is the key to growing a YouTube channel. Yep. Mm-hmm. If you don't show up, you know, if you create one video a month, you're not going to grow very fast. If you create, you know, a vlog a day, you know, you'll get a lot of attention.
Right.
And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I created in early 2021, I created my own schedule, or my own self-imposed release schedule, of every Tuesday, it's going to be some sort of gear review, how-to video, tutorial, you know, or what we sometimes call the real world Overlander episode, where it's just day in the life of, you know, Overlander of us really. And so that's Tuesday, and then on Friday it's a trip video, so it's, you know,
one trip video every week.
Meanwhile, Kara's working three jobs to support her YouTube husband.
You know, so I would take, you know, I would take off on Monday and run to the Ozarks and record that day and make a video out of it. Or here, you know, here, these last few months. Here, these last few months, I've been heading to the Washita National Forest, which is a completely different national forest that we have in Arkansas. And it's, you know, completely different than the Ozarks. So I've been exploring that. Or if we have a long trip, you know, that'll buy me a few weeks of Friday videos.
Right. Yeah. Cause you do a series.
Break it up make a series.
Yeah.
So I imposed that on myself, and with the exception of 2 weeks that I can think off the top of my head, and they were actually recent, I've kept that schedule.
Yeah. Wow. Your output's crazy. It's two videos a week. I've been watching it and just, you know,
I mean, when you have nothing else to do, that's not too hard.
That makes me sad. So I'm like, how am I ever going to do that?
That's because your voicing is a lot better than his.
Oh, I wouldn't say that at all. No, I wouldn't say that at all. No, we're not going to, your videos are fantastic. And you know,
our styles are different, but your narration, I just love. If I could get you to narrate all my videos, I would.
So let's talk about that. Like the effort that goes into one of these videos. People think, oh, you're just out there shooting a video, but like, it takes a lot of effort to put one of these things together. It's like when you say two videos a week, I think, oh my God, that is so much work.
I mean, keep in mind, it's, you know, I can shoot a review video in my garage in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can, you know, have it edited in 3.
So you've got this, you're locked then, because that I've never, ever, ever spent 3 hours editing a video.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the process down pretty efficiently.
Yeah. I guess that's what happens when you just give yourself a schedule and you do it and you do it and you do it so much.
Well, I mean, if you don't have a full-time job during the day, you know, that's what he's doing all day.
Yeah.
Like literally I'm here working from home now and he's in there on the computer and will tell me, okay, don't bother me for half this day. You know, I got to finish this video.
I need 3 hours of dedicated time on this video, you know, so.
Yeah. And yeah, like you were saying, it's a lot of work. Like even the trip videos, if he goes out with other people, one person, he likes going out by himself.
I love going out by myself.
Because he can set up videos, do different shots, take as much time as he needs. Whereas if there's multiple people going, that's multiple people that's got to stop for you, wait for you, film for you, all of that.
It's more distance I have to run to get the camera.
Yeah. I've never done that. I've never gone out by myself. It sounds so wonderful. I want to try one of these days.
It really is. And you know, I get asked all the time, and I'm sure you do too. Does the pressure of capturing the trip on video rob you of enjoying the trip?
Yeah. Common question. Yep.
And for me, it does not at all, because capturing the trip is one of the things that I love about doing these trips, because I think it immerses me in the trip more, because I'm thinking through, I'm looking at places, I'm thinking through, how do I want to capture this instead of just driving by it?
Yeah. Yep.
So
I will say that has the opposite effect on me whenever I'm with him.
It does.
Because he will become very immersed in capturing it, so much so that I feel like we're not sharing in the situation together if it's just me and him. Like I want to spend time not capturing things.
Yeah.
I want to be able to have a balance there of vacation. And then sometimes I'll find myself guilty of like, hey, why aren't you recording this? Why aren't you doing? But then at the same,
she'll say that. But then she's also the person of going, babe, you need to go get that. Or, oh, you need to go get this. Or we need to do this on camera.
But then I'll be like, why are you not talking?
And then, yeah, so it's a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just love the whole process of capturing a trip. And so, finding unique angles and, mm-hmm. you know, to showcase the environment.
That creativity, you know, one of the things I think that people don't understand about people who make adventure videos, like overlanding videos, is that like, we're a bunch of creative types. Mm-hmm. Like the creativity, we're adventurers, and not everybody associates adventurers as being creative types as well. And so like, there's a double enjoyment that happens when you're out there, because you get to express your creativity in nature, which is kind of like a double whammy. And then when you bring it back, you have
that it all over again.
Yeah, exactly. And it has every trip has two lives, has mm-hmm. the one that you kind of have in your heart when you're there, and then the one that lives on in the video that you make. And yeah. I love that. I love that. Like, I can see your trip and it lives on, or I can have my trip and it lives on. And that's something I think is really special for creative types who like to do that. For somebody who doesn't like, who just, you know, is really about getting out there and just seeing it and hearing it and experiencing it, then I can imagine it would be a lot of work and really terrible. It would be distracting.
I will say there's parts of videos that we will have personal experience left from a video that won't go into a video. Like we don't capture all of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta take a break. I think we did two or three trips last year where we just didn't even bring cameras at all.
Yeah.
So then let's talk about, this is the last thing on the YouTube channel. Like the last issue that I think is really interesting. And that is posting GPS coordinates. So you said that you do provide GPS coordinates for your patrons. And I know a lot of other YouTubers do that. I know that like Primal Outdoors, he actually has. I think Primal Outdoors even has a couple routes that he just has on his website. And he says, just please leave a donation. But not a lot of secret stuff, or, you know, it's like kind of a big known route. In any case, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about YouTubers who are posting GPS coordinates? What's your take on that? Like, when should you share? How much should you share? I'm just curious to know your thoughts.
Well, I struggled with that. And that was one of the reasons another reason I struggled with the whole Patreon thing to begin with is that aspect of it. Because I used to be very diehard, I'm not sharing squat with anybody.
Yep.
But I saw the effects of new people just floundering through the woods and not having a clue what they're doing, mm-hmm. not knowing how to read a motor vehicle use map or, you know what the rules are as far as where you can camp and where you can't and that sort of thing. And so I took it upon, you know, one of my, I guess, purposes of the channel. I mean, I say I've got our channel is about two things. It's to inspire and to educate. Mm-hmm. And so I took that education piece in, you know, if people are going to get out, and they are, and COVID just made it even more crazy, number of people who were going out, then I want to help them do it responsibly. And for me here in the Ozarks, there's a vast network of trails through the Ozark National Forest, you know, old, you know, just local trails, old logging trails, you know, and a lot of them aren't legal to travel on because of whatever designation the Forest Service gave it. Yeah. But a lot of them aren't legal to travel on. And there were routes that were being passed around from previous years on internet forums and stuff that were still taking people on closed trails, and people would download those routes and just blindly follow them.
Or people were going upstream,
you know, and then I would see people, you know, just playing in streams, driving up and down for fun.
And Matt knows all this firsthand too. Like he came by this honestly.
I made all kinds of mistakes. Yeah. I made tons.
Oh, me too. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
But I saw these, you know, all this activity, driving illegal trails, you know, playing in streams, driving off trail, that sort of stuff, that were putting the trails that we did still have left at risk of being closed. And so I really took it as a personal passion of mine to educate people on how to wheel responsibly, how to read the motor vehicle use maps and that sort of thing. And actually the route that kept being, you know, famously shared on internet forums was the High Watermark Trail.
Oh, interesting.
That it was close. I did the recent video on. Uh-huh. And so the last route that came out of that group that was doing that event was like in 2013. And so those routes were still being passed around, but most of those routes, or every one of those routes, had illegal trails on them were open at that time, but now we're closed. And so in 2019, I kind of adopted a new philosophy and thought, you know, if people are going to do this, then I want to help them do it right.
Right.
So I created a new version of the High Watermark Trail that rerouted all the old illegal stuff and put it all back on legal trails, mm-hmm. and released that. Put it in a couple of Facebook forums. There's a website of Overland Trail Guides that has that route and makes it open to the public. And so I just thought, okay, if people are going to do it anyway, I want to help them do it the right way.
Yeah.
And so that route I released publicly. The Ozark Overland Adventure Trail was a route that I created for a 5-day overlanding route through the Ozarks that I made public.
Yep.
And it's got camping spots, you know, it's got everything marked on it, camping spots, points of interest, everything for someone to come to the Ozarks and have an enjoyable time overlanding through the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. And so that one I released publicly and just said, here you go. If you want to come to the Ozarks, this is a great way to get started.
Like this route can handle it. It'll keep you safe. It's not too extreme. It's like middle of the road. So it's a good entry point, basically.
I think our biggest take back about the whole GPS coordinates thing is education over closure. I follow Crayons and Carnes, Lauren. Yes.
I saw your live with her, by the way.
It was amazing. Really great. Amazing woman. And she is actually doing a film called The Mark We Make. And it basically is about the slot canyons and the marks that people, you know, the drawings and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that the more educated people are on how to treat the lands and the places that you're allowed to go to, there's always going to be some people that don't. And they're going to think, you know, that their way is the best way or the right way. But it's the whole, you know, sand dollar, the little girl throwing one that made a difference to that one.
Right.
You know, I think that means everything.
Well, if we can influence a direction.
Right.
Right. So like if we can plant a small seed in a lot of people that basically is like, just be aware that you're treading, you know, that like, you know, like pick up your campsite, like you would pick up your house, like some of those basic things, or like, you know, check, read the signs before you drive, just things like that, that will make a huge impact. If just that little bit is kind of directionally correct with people, we can't fix it. You know, but I think influencing the right way, influencing the right direction without expecting perfection, because we can't expect perform or condemn when no one's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes, but if we're all kind of directionally correct, then I think there's a lot of good you can do out
there. I think we need to be more mindful of how even we include that in filmmaking or any of even YouTube or things like that, just showing you picking up the trash after you leave a campground, you know, that kind of thing, because it's the kids that's going to follow and see it. You know, social media is a huge thing now. And so,
And there's so many creative ways you can do that. Like I've got so many skits in my brain about picking up.
Do it.
You know, it's like good content for us too.
Make a skit and we will put it in our time.
Okay. With Will. Yes. Done. I will do that. So what do you think, what would you say? So to inspire and educate, but what would you say your channel is best known for? Like people think Ozark, like I've been seeing you all over, probably I've been seeing you all over, on Facebook groups. You know, there's always those Facebook groups where like, what's your favorite YouTube channel? And Ozark Overland Adventures is on there multiple times every time. So like you're getting out there, you're getting really known. People are recommending you. What do you think it is that you're best known for?
I would say not intentionally, but my battery reviews, my power station reviews, those just always get a crap ton of reviews, and people like them, and people like my style and how I do those.
Because
I don't get all in the weeds technical on all the stuff like some of the other people do. But that's definitely one of them. But I mean, the Ozarks are my niche. Mm. And so it's a unique location, and it's one that I think people are curious about. And so I think the Ozarks is what makes me unique. I mean, there's so many YouTube channels that, you know, they're driving around Utah.
Yep.
You know, they're driving around Arizona, or any place out west. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's only two of us that have anything Ozark content.
Yep. It's like Arkansas.
Grant. He's a great guy.
But, you know, and he's not doing a whole lot now, not as much as he used to.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just that Ozark niche.
Yeah.
And I will say it's also, I think, the fact that we go places. Like, we are home based in Arkansas, yes. And we know the Ozarks, but we also travel and we learn places in other parts of the world too. Yeah. So, like, out west, you know, like, I would love to go east, and like we were talking about earlier, you know, there's just so many places, but we try to take a little bit of those places and make the routes available to people that follow us on Patreon, so that way they can experience that too. And so for the people that want to plan those trips maybe once a year with their family, you know, who don't get to travel as much, that gives them that opportunity. And because we come from a smaller, you know, base, I would think that people are more apt to follow that. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's a little.
I think I agree with that. With both of you, you should be known for those things. I think that you're also just known for your personalities. I was telling Kara this the other day, like, I can just turn on you guys talking and just, I just watch it. I don't even care what you're talking about, because you've got great personalities. You're authentic. You know, I can see you thinking as you're talking. It's not rehearsed. It's not memorized. You know, it's just really there and in the moment, and you're not afraid to say things. So anyway, so that's, I would add that to the list of things that you're known for and popular reasons that you're popular. Yeah. Okay. Last subject. Rigs.
I was about to say, I just got a new vehicle. You better ask me about my new Jeep.
So you two have gone through some rigs. And
just me.
No, not you two. Just, she's gone through a whole lot more than I have.
Okay, well, so walk me through the different rigs that you had, because Matt, you had a JL, right? And then
I had a JK.
A JK, had, JK yeah. to a JT.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
And that's his one time. That's his one time right there.
Okay.
I've owned three Jeeps.
Oh, well, yeah. Lifetime. You went JK to JK to JT.
Right.
So okay. I had a
2008 JKU Sahara. Then I bought a 2012 JKU Rubicon and owned it for 5 years.
Too long.
And then just 9 months ago, got the Gladiator.
Yeah.
So the Gladiator. So I want to ask, the Gladiator's name is Sully.
Yeah.
And I know you explained this when you posted the video on it, but like, why, like, what's behind that name?
It's hair. Big and blue. And so is Sully from Monsters, Inc. Kara's the one who came up with the name. I didn't really care about naming it. But she's like, it looks like Sully from Monsters, Inc. And I've always, my hair is always a thing. And so I've always had, like, you know, blue and purple in my hair, which is not directly related to Sully from Monsters, Inc. But Sully is also blue and purple.
Did you think about that when you bought the JT? Like, you know what? I want to get blue because I'm kind of a blue.
That's the only Rubicon they had.
That was the only color they had.
Just worked out that way.
At first, you didn't like that color. No, at first you didn't like that color.
I was like, eh.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh no, that's beautiful, because you don't see it that often.
Right. Yeah. But I'm so glad I got the blue because it's beautiful and it shows up really good on camera when I'm flying a drone.
Yeah. Well, not that really. Yeah.
So, okay. So there's JT and you've got what 37s on it?
Yeah, I've got 37s and a three inch lift and 37s.
Okay. And you've been doing, I mean, I've been watching your build. You've got all kinds of modifications. So if people are listening to this and they want to see a build from scratch on a JT that's really functional, but also pretty badass. You should go to the channel and watch that.
You know, I had enough experience in my Wranglers and I knew going into the Gladiator, when we decided to pull the trigger on the Gladiator, I immediately went to how do I want to build it out to be the most functional overland vehicle that I could, because we knew that in buying the Gladiator, that is what we were going to start our full-time journey in.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 3.5 years, unless something catastrophic happens, we will still be in the Gladiator. And that is what I will be, you know, doing a whole lot of full-time stuff.
Now let's just say there, we didn't plan to get the Gladiator. Like we were out actually shooting a video for Real World Overlander looking at campers. Like
I remember that. You guys were looking at camper vans.
Yeah. We were looking at RV. Yeah. And then we thought we were going to buy an RV and pull my Wrangler behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we were like, I just tossed out the idea. I was like, we could just get an Alu cab and put it on the back of a Gladiator. And he's like, you know what? I'm never a test drove a Gladiator. Well, that's next test drive thing, boy. You know,
That was on a Saturday.
We were crunching numbers that night because going from a JK to a JT is like going from a JK to a JL. Yeah. And so none of the things fit. So you couldn't just swap things over. So we were like, okay, this is going to be a financial commitment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You did keep some things though. Like you kept the winch and some of those
things. Kept the winch, kept the light bar, you know, some of the lights and stuff that took off. Light bar. Yeah. when we pulled the trigger on the Gladiator, I immediately thought, okay, I want to build this into the most functional overland rig that I can and actually have it so that I can live out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I set out to do. And I am so happy with the setup right now. I just love it.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything you would change about it.
Not a thing. No, there's not a thing I would change about it.
It's just obviously you've taken it on some gnarly, gnarly trails. you're rock crawling with it in kind of with your tent on the top. It's one of the things, I've been to Moab. I didn't want to do any trails because I have a big old tent on the top of my JK. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that.
JK from a JT is a little bit different because that's.
I intentionally wanted a half height bed rack because I wanted the tent
to sit low.
I didn't want it, you know, with it being a 3-inch lift and 37s, it's tall.
Yeah.
I didn't want a tent on top of that. I wanted it, you know, down lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus it wouldn't fit in the garage if it was on top.
Yeah.
So there's the garage thing. Yeah. My garage has a big piece of trim that's just missing. Me hitting the rooftop tent, scraping it, going in 3 times. It's like, oh yeah, that guy's got a rooftop tent, obviously. So that's Sully. And I do encourage people to see that build. It's really, really great. It's for, if you're an overlander or you're thinking about it and you like Jeeps and you like JTs, you should watch Matt's build because it's pretty inspiring. So, yeah, but then Kara, you had a WJ?
WK2.
WK2. Thank you. A Trailhawk.
I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee Trailhawk. Let's go back a little bit.
Oh yeah. Okay.
When we first met, I had a 2-door JK and then we were mostly going out in his vehicle. And so I sold mine and I got a Jeep Renegade.
Hmm.
Oh, a little Renegade.
Okay. Was it like so a... Funny.
We go out in my Jeep all the time because it was the Rubicon and it was, you know, built the most, you know, the most capable. So it was the Rubicon and we would go, we take mine out wheeling all the time.
So she wanted
something more fuel efficient.
Yeah. His license plate said ISO mud. So like in search of mud.
Yeah.
And mine was like ISO MPG. That's kind of where we got with that. And so I got tired of that. We actually went to Colorado one year and I was just like, okay, I miss my Jeep.
Our second trip to Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay.
We came back and she's like, I've got to have a Wrangler again. I want to do that myself.
Yeah. And so I traded my Renegade in for a Jeep JKU. That was my first four door Jeep. And it was super nice.
What kind was it?
It was an Anvil.
What was it? A Sahara? Was it a Rubicon?
It was a Sahara.
Okay.
Yeah. And my first one was a Sport. My first, the JK. And so then after, I don't know, a year or two.
You had that one for 2 years.
I'm pretty good at around 2 years, Will, is about when I started getting an itch.
Right.
Well, the Bronco came out. Or was announced, and she thought she wanted a Bronco.
Yeah,
that's a real thing, Kara. I didn't know if you were serious about that.
I was dead serious. Oh yes,
she definitely wanted.
Okay,
so I actually still have one on order.
You want a crossover? You're going to be a crossover.
Yeah, she's not going to get it.
I'm not going to get it.
Okay.
But so she wanted the Bronco was released, and she wanted it
so bad,
and I'm like, I am dead set on never buy the first year of a new vehicle.
Yeah. It's
going to be problematic. Reasons. So I'm like, you know, okay, if you want a Bronco, great.
You still owe
but
on this
in,
one.
But let's wait 2 to 3 years for them to work out the bugs, and then we can get a Bronco. Someone's not very patient.
I'm not at all. I'm anti-patient.
And then
just skipped over.
I'm telling this story. Okay. And then my middle daughter turned 16.
Oh my gosh.
And she got a car. For her 16th birthday, it's a Hyundai Elantra, but it has Apple CarPlay in it.
Okay. All right. I see where this is going.
It didn't have CarPlay in it. And she saw CarPlay and she's like, I must have CarPlay. And so I was like, okay, well, we can get you an aftermarket radio for your JK. Then it's always a little trigger like that that makes her go, nope, new car fever. And so I don't know what turned her on to the Grand Cherokee.
I was looking at the RAV4. I like.
Oh yeah, she went Subaru, and then she was like, well, maybe a RAV4 all wheel drive.
Because I wanted to keep the capableness, but I didn't want to have to build it.
Yeah, she wanted to do like Colorado trails, but not. Moab trails.
And so our friend John Bradowski, he's in a lot of our videos. He drives a
his wife drives a,
no he drives the I was just going to tell him
oh, okay
yeah. yeah so he drives the it's the Stingray gray color Jeep. Anyways, his wife had just got a Grand Cherokee Trailhawk. And I started watching some videos from Prodigal Overland on YouTube, and they take their Trailhawk through craziness.
Yep.
And I was just like, that's it. It's a Jeep. He'll approve it. You know? Yes. And so.
Because that has the air suspension on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Push it and it goes up 2.5.
Yeah. With a push of the button, you get 2.5 inch lift. Yeah. It's fantastic. Great.
Yeah.
It's a super capable vehicle for what it was. And I loved it. I really did.
Does it have a rear locker on it too?
It has limited slip in the rear.
Okay.
So. Yeah. But I mean, I did Hell's Gate in that. I've done, you know, some pretty amazing things. And it has air conditioned seats. When you take a sucker out west and you are sweating in the bad places.
Yes.
It is amazing to have a cool bum.
That is something. That is something.
A Bronco, though, was still ever looming, and they started coming out. And I got to drive one at the rendezvous. Someone had gotten theirs in, and I was like, oh my gosh, we really want this Bronco again. He's like, no, we got the Grand Cherokee because, you know, the Bronco. And so whatever. Well, Nathan, you know, he just traded in his ZR2 and got a JL. And he didn't take it camping when they went to the cold water run. It just sat in our garage. And so I was looking at this new Jeep.
Oh, boy.
Really pretty Jeep. And then I was just like, oh, there's a pink Jeep. And so then I started a search. I called every place in Arkansas. They didn't have this pink Jeep. And I finally found one because a friend of ours posted it in our group. in Mobile, Alabama. So
you sold your Grand Cherokee, traded in for a JL.
Yeah.
And that is now, have you named this JL?
Yeah, it's Boo from Boo. Yeah, because, you know,
the Grand Cherokee was also Boo.
The Grand Cherokee was also Boo, but it wasn't as known. And also the fact that this one's pink, Boo wears a pink shirt.
Who's
Boo? She's the little girl. She's the little girl.
Oh, of course. Yeah. In Monsters, Inc.
So that's who she is. And so I love her so friggin' much. And I will love her for 7 years.
You've got two years before you switch to something new.
No, he will kill me.
The other thing that you have recently purchased is a pretty great trailer.
Yeah.
That's our home.
I've never seen anything quite like that trailer.
It's incredible.
So, yeah. So just walk us through, like, briefly tell us what kind of trailer it is. And like, it seems big, but it's not big.
It's a Conqueror UEV 490 Platinum. Our plan was to, you know, we started off with the RV. We're going to do the RV, pull the Jeep, and then that transition to four-wheel drive Sprinter van, mm-hmm. and drive the Jeep with it. One could be base camp, and then one can be adventure mobile. Mm-hmm. And a friend of ours, who Joey Slayton, who has the Professor and Friends podcast, he actually made a video. He was driving through Denton, Texas, and stopped at this RV dealership, and they had one there. And he asked, "Hey, can I make a video of this?" And they said, "Sure." And so he posted a video of it, and we watched it, or she watched it.
Yeah, I saw it. She immediately
called me, and she's like, "No more Sprinter van. This is it.
Yeah,
this is our home."
So not only do I have very like non-existent patience, but whenever I have my mind made up on something, I'm pretty adamant and pretty stubborn, and I will at no all cost like go after it.
Yeah,
that's true.
And that happened with this trailer. You're like, this is the trailer.
Yeah,
I literally drove down there like the next. I had a couple days off.
And oh my gosh, she's so impatient. There was no time within a 2 week window that we could go down there together.
So I was like, my
schedule conflicted with hers and the work schedule. So she's like, okay, fine. I'll go down there by myself. And so she got up and she drove to Denton, Texas.
At 3 a.m. in the morning.
Because she had to be back the next day for something night for work. And
she said that to you like, because I work, Matt. Yeah. You had a exactly. little bit of, you're a little bit of lilt in your voice there because I have a job.
Yeah. And so I actually got tired and I slept about halfway through in a Texarkana Walmart parking lot. I took like a 45 minute nap. Super sketch. Don't recommend that for a lot. But anyway, so then I made that the rest of the way and I was just like, okay, I want this.
Yeah. And she came home and she's like, I'm in love. That's our home.
Yeah.
And so before I even went down there and saw it, we worked it out with the dealer.
He went down there/saw it/got it.
Yeah. I went down there to just sign the paperwork and pick it up. And
it's amazing.
It's fantastic. I mean, that we bought that with, you know, in 3.5 years, that's our home. That's
and what we have a complete walk around, so we'll spare you of the details.
But yeah, the walk around's fantastic, but it's got basically everything, but it's kind of like a pop-up too, right? It's like,
it is. Yeah. I mean, if you need more space, you can raise the roof and pop out the front for another bed. Or if, you know, it's storming and we just need to hunker down for the night or something, there's another bed in it and we can just get in and boom, go to sleep.
Or we were on our way to Big Bend even, and we pulled into like, I don't know where we were.
Bucky's.
Yeah. We pulled into a Bucky's that allowed us to stay overnight there. And we didn't even pop it up or anything. We just crawled in there.
Crawled in and went to sleep.
It has a lower bed system too. So
that's great. That's great.
We love it. Absolutely love
it. Incredible.
Well, is there anything else that you think we should talk about or you think people should know about you two or Ozark Overland Adventures?
You know, with everything, with the overlanding thing, with the YouTube channel, you know, it's just all been very organic. Nothing was really set out to be what it is today. It just all happened very naturally. It blows my mind. I get messages all the time from people going, oh, my, you've inspired my wife and I to start overlanding.
Well, I mean, that's the power of media, isn't it, though? I mean, like,
yeah. That's crazy to me.
It showed up in their feed. Maybe they, you know, who knows? I mean, but then
I've never watched a YouTube video and thought, oh my gosh, I want to knit today.
That's true.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true. And you were gone last weekend.
You did.
I did. I learned how to cross stitch. Like I did.
But you had. But did it come from YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You were like. Yeah. You were like, you showed up in your feed, and you're like, "Whoa, what is that sexy thing with two needles?"
Exactly. I haven't finished it, but started it.
Yeah, but it's just crazy to me that.
But I, on the other hand, think that is freaking awesome because
it's just weird though.
I just think it's so inspiring and encouraging just to know that you don't have to do what you've done. You can change at any point your direction. And I think that that's just so encouraging to know that people are willing to do that and to just go out on a limb and to make mistakes and enjoy the heck out of life because you only get one life.
Yeah, that's so true. I had a conversation with another YouTube channel. It is a guy who lives in the Boise area. He's got a channel called Nathan Muller. He drives a Tundra, and he's got really good advice on Tundra drivers. And we had a conversation over beers, and he said this really profound statement to me. He said, "We are broken as humans. We are broken, and one of the ways in which we can seek to be healed is to have adventures in the outdoors." And unless we have those, we remain broken. And it's interesting because for me, I'd never thought about it that way. I don't think of myself as a broken person necessarily, but we all are broken.
Yeah.
And sometimes it comes, you know, we don't know when we're actually seeking a healing for that. And so like, it can be in your YouTube feed and it's like, boom, here's this big blue rig and they're having a great time. And look at the scenery and the drone shots. I think that might heal me a little bit. You know, like I can see how that can come across to people because we're all at different points in our lives where we may be aware of the need for something different than what we have. And YouTube.
Say, yeah, that makes sense.
One of a quote that I think I can end on is the further that we get, the closer that we find ourselves.
Hmm.
Like just out, you know, that's where we become more of who we are.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. Well, Kara and Matt, thank you so, so much for being on this podcast. I have had a great time talking about so many things with you. And you are in person just like you are on camera. And I think, you know, if people listening to this, they're going to get that sense too, that you two are authentic. And like you said, Matt, like your YouTube journey has been organic. And I think that's one of the reasons that you're successful is because you two are authentic, organic. You truly have a passion and it has been wonderful to hang out with you. So thank you for being on the podcast.
You've had a blast. Yes. Thanks for having us on.
It's been so fun. Thank you.
I can't wait to hang out with you in person.
Me too. Yeah.
I'm going to come up to you like an M&M commercial and be like, he does exist.
Totally. So for those of you who are listening to this, and if you have not been over to their YouTube channel, definitely go check it out. And Kara, we didn't really talk about your Wander Repeat, but it is a wonderful interview live show that you have with people. Kate and I have been on it. So
it's an extension of our channel anyway. So it's all there together.
It's all on the channel. And there's some really good in-depth interviews with really amazing people. And I know you've got some amazing people that are coming on that show as well. So for those of you who haven't been over, definitely go check out their channel. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.